In this hour, to begin with, we're going to turn our minds to things that are connected, in fact, to the Wesley Mission, because our guest again is Dr. Keith Garner. And Keith, welcome back to the program.
Noel, good to be with you.
Now, you are celebrating an anniversary here, and that's the 200th anniversary of the arrival of the very first Methodist minister in Australia, aren't you?
Yeah, the first Methodist missionary to Australia and New Zealand, Samuel Lee, arrived in August just 200 years ago. So on the 30th of August, next Sunday, we're celebrating, remembering that fact.
Big hymn sing?
Hymn sing, but more than that, because I think Samuel Lee, when he came here, you know, a remarkable story, was initially going to go to Canada, Montreal. The Napoleonic Wars, they said, no, that's too dangerous for you to go. We'll send you to this place right down the bottom of the earth, to Australia. And so he came here, and answering a call to come here, faced enormous difficulties, both here, particularly in New Zealand. And really, those of us that were Methodists in the Uniting Church are very proud of some of that beginning that was so important.
Now, I think you might know a bit about this, really, because you've done the book, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. I've written a book simply because I think there's a danger of forgetting history.
Yes.
I think as you forget your past, so your present becomes murky and the future becomes crazy. I think you've got to have your history, and it's a very important part of history in Australia. To think 1812, some of those initial Methodist people were working in the rocks and in the middle of Sydney, and this guy 3 years later arrives in Australia and helps to shape things. Not all a great success what he does, but he certainly sets the ground for what will follow.
Now, when we talk about Methodism, for those who are not completely across it straight away, this is a branch of Reformed Christianity, but which actually did a lot of applied work, what they call Arminianism, the idea that social service was tremendously important, which is exactly what Wesley Mission is about, isn't it?
Yeah, and when you think about it, Samuel Lee was probably, he came to Christian faith through the preaching of people that would have been with John Wesley himself. That's the kind of era we're talking about. So when you put it that way, it's almost like a baton that's been passed down. And the initial meetings that were in Sydney, Castlereagh, and in Windsor, all around this part of the world, became possible. And they really are the start of something that really was very special. And it certainly had an application to it. It was evangelism with clothes on. It was evangelism, reaching people with the gospel, but actually caring for people in need and poverty and hurt and all that stuff. It all binds together. It's not separated.
Mm, doing the practical stuff, which is exactly...
And that's a big Wesley Mission thing.
Yes, absolutely. Well, this also, this week marks the 20th anniversary of quite an important thing too for you, doesn't it?
Well, it was a mission, of course, where Lifeline began over 50 years ago. And 20 years ago this week, we celebrated the beginning of Wesley Life Force. Now, this is a suicide prevention program. We deliver it for the Commonwealth Government all across Australia. There are 57 different networks that we are involved in. And what we've been launching this week has been a special program, a preventative training program that we're actually working on with Aboriginal Indigenous communities in the north of Australia, in the Northern Territories, Torres Strait Island, where we're working with people. And what we do there is we don't just stand there and teach it. In yarning circles and in groups, Aboriginal people have found that they can. Our job is not to do it, but to help people do it. We go into a community, we find the people that matter, doctors, police, teachers, and we get them together and talk to them about the possibility of actually making a difference by lowering the rate of suicide.
Now, you would have noticed this, the reports, the success of the sitting down project, wouldn't you, of just sitting down and talking to people, which is part of this too, the communication stuff, isn't it?
Sure, and we realise very much that it's not somebody stood at the front of the room telling people how it should be, but groups of people listening. And Gaeli, who's a wonderful advocate for Wesley Mission's work in Wesley Life Force, found that in her community, which was one of the highest suicide rates in the world, they've brought the level of suicide down to nil. Now, when we tell people that in our community, where usually there was somebody every week, every month taking their own life, they've actually got it down to nil. How did she do it? She simply went out with her friends, the women of the community, very powerful people in these Aboriginal communities. They went out in the darkness at midnight, listening for the cries, seeing young people in their drug addiction, in the streets, and actually starting to help them. And really, this, for me, is where it's at.
Now, you do have an annual Life Force memorial service too, don't you? There's a gathering for worship of this, not only the practical stuff.
Yeah, we do. It's in a number of cities. We've done it in Brisbane and we've got one just a week and a half time over in Adelaide. And that very special week, we've got one at the Sydney Opera House.
That's the one Simon Marley's hosting, is it?
It's Simon Marley from the ABC.
Absolutely. A famous man.
Yes, he is. And we've got people come. And it is worship. But it's about reflection. We give people the opportunity to come and remember those people that they've lost. We have a wall where people can put up pictures and prayers. And it's not surprising for me that in the kind of Methodist evangelism that we are, it's not heavy-handed. It's not in people's face. What we tend to do is let people know we care about them. Because I think when people know that we care about them, then they want to know more about what we are.
Can we talk a little bit about the remote areas and rural areas? Because that's been part of the concern, hasn't it?
It's very much part of the concern. And also, all the figures would tell you that people in remote areas have the isolation, the means very often to take their own lives. All these things contribute to a concern for these areas. High unemployment, Great Depression, all that kind of thing combines to make the possibility there. And our job really is to help people in the community notice the possibility of suicide in people's lives. I think when I began, I used to think, if somebody talks about suicide, oh, then they're not going to do it. Well, the exact opposite is true. If somebody is talking about this, you take them seriously and you try to offer the help. And we find that help is very genuine and real and people want it. Most people do not want to take their own lives. But the reality is that you can find yourself right at that point of utter despair. And sometimes people don't know. And the perplexity of the families that are left in these situations, our heart goes out to them.
Are you noticing connections? Do the connections, the issues that people seem to face, are there patterns in these issues that people face that pile up on them?
I'm always a bit worried about trying to create a scenario situation, you know, in this situation and that, but it is certainly true.
I'm thinking general, like inclusion or isolation.
Absolutely,
or,
yes. Yeah.
Poverty.
I would have gone on though to say that really I'm wary about doing it, but I think there are a number of situations, isolation, remoteness, situations of despair that come through losing one's job, economic circumstances that might be despairing. Those kind of things all contribute to a situation whereby a person may feel that life is not worth going on. And I would be saying to anybody in that situation, it is always worth going on. Life is to grasp. Everybody matters. And for me, that's the heart of the Christian faith, that God cares for everybody.
Before you go, Reverend Keith Gunner, the last time you joined us, you were talking about looking for people to volunteer for financial counselling, because this is something else you were looking at. And I wondered if you've had much response or if the call's still out there?
The cause is certainly still out there. And I think that at the moment, I just frightened. I look at the paper, I open it up every day. I think, how can anybody ever afford a house in our community? The reality is getting worse. And I think the pressures are getting worse. But we do get people responding. In fact, one person came as a response, I think, of the radio programme last time and said, I have done this in my working life. I'd like to try something new. I reckon I could do this. And if people can use their skills, a lot of people retire, you know, and they've got a lot to offer. And in this area of financial counselling, offering support, they certainly are the kind of people that we'd be open to.
Well, this is, of course, connected, because when you're talking about issues like suicide, this is an issue. Finance can be one of the issues that affects people and depresses people and oppresses people. And as I recall, what you were looking for were people with expertise in some sort of financial counselling, whether they're accountants, I presume, whether they're business people. Is that the sort of thing you're looking for still?
Yes, that's part of the package. People that care. That know what it is to sit down with somebody. For example, we take great pride in the fact that now when people open their credit cards, they'll find not only will they find what they owe, they'll find a strip now at the bottom that tells them if they only pay the minimum, it will take them 17 years and 4 months to pay off the debt.
Oh.
Now, we've been part of that campaigning, and I think we've got to continue that.
That's the big picture.
It is, and the big picture matters, and we have to get the banks over the line, and they're beginning to move. They were reluctant, you know. I spoke to very senior people, and there was one CEO of a national bank that will know that I asked this question directly, and there was a great reluctance at first. But we have to do it, because there's nothing gained if people get so much into debt, so much into mess, so much in the mud that they can't do anything.
You were looking, though, also for financial planning, weren't you? This is part of the package that you've been rolling out to give advice on how to do budgets, that sort of thing, wasn't it?
Yes, and we tried to run a course that how to take care of yourself in terms of money. We go into factories, businesses, offices. We give fire prevention courses. We give them first aid courses. We tell them what to do. What's wrong with offering to people when they begin their working life and before a proper basic financial counselling course? I think that's an essential for people's lives.
Reverend Keith Gunner, I know it's been a long, long day for you, but you've always got lots of energy for us. Thank you very much for being back here on Sunday nights.
Pleasure to be with you, Noel.